Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape our community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
This is Capital Notes from Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Ayan Silver, speaking with J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com. Hi, J.R., thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So I'd like to do a state budget and federal budget rewind. At 1:30 in the morning on July 3rd, Democratic Governor Tony Evers made his partial vetoes on the state budget. It was a rush to beat Congress's federal tax and spending bill. What was the Medicaid provider tax fix they needed to make? And first, can you explain what a Medicaid, which is also known as Badger Care in Wisconsin, what a Medicaid provider tax is?
So basically what the state has done, and many states do this, they take hospital patient revenues and they place an assessment or a tax on those revenues. That money is then put into the matching funds formula with Medicaid, which then brings more federal dollars back to the state. The state then puts most of that money, not all of it, but most of it, back into hospitals. So hospitals pay a bit up front in this assessment. They get much more money back through the increased federal money to make it kind of a plus for them. And so the state's been doing that for a few years. And Governor Evers had proposed back in February increasing the assessment amount. So under federal law, pre-Big Beautiful Bill, the cap was 6%. You could go beyond that if you wanted to for the assessment, but you could only go up to 6% to get reimbursement from the feds or put it toward this formula. Wisconsin was at 1.8% previously. The governor proposed budget going to 5.7%. Then the deal that he struck with Republican lawmakers took it to 6%, that maximum amount you could get reimbursement for. But the problem was they had to get that done and signed into law before the reconciliation bill took effect because they had new limits on those provider assessments that would have undercut the state's effort.
And so that's going to result in about approximately $1 billion a year in additional federal funding for Wisconsin. Is that not true?
For the hospitals, yes. And then the state's going to get a little bit of cut of that money too. So, you know, we have other programs with Medicaid that we're paying for, and they're using some of that increased federal money to cover the state's cost toward Medicaid.
And even with this fix that, you know, it was bipartisan, right? Because both the state, you know, Republicans in the legislature and Evers were on board with this.
Yes.
So even with this fix, there are estimates that the federal tax and spending legislation could cause over 275,000 people in Wisconsin to lose their health care. Is that what you're hearing?
So, yeah. So there are various studies. So you have to separate the hospital assessment from other things, which, you know, there are new work requirements, for example, if you're on Medicaid that are being implemented. Now, they don't take effect right away. I believe it comes down the road a little bit. But those new steps are believed to likely push some people off of the program.
And will these increased provider taxes, ultimately the hospitals are getting more money, but will the increased provider taxes cause people to pay for more for their medical care?
That's not what's believed. They pay the same rate. It's just that you tax those revenues at a higher rate to get more money. The hospitals were totally behind this push, by the way. They actually have been shopping this idea to Republican lawmakers and the governor for a while, that they wanted this increase because they saw the opportunity for more revenues to come into Wisconsin to then benefit them.
And why did GOP Senate President Mary Fialkowski have a bone to pick about this? She didn't sign on to the bipartisan budget because she said medical costs are too high and that people don't worry about the diagnoses, they worry about the costs. Wouldn't this be something that she would have gotten behind?
So she believes that hospitals have enough money as it is, that they are doing just fine, and that there needed to be, if you're going to do this, more reforms, more ways to rein in healthcare costs in Wisconsin. This budget not doing enough to do that. Now, don't forget, Fialkowski is in the insurance industry, and so they're also part of this entire deal, right, with healthcare costs. So she sees things from that perspective somewhat. So in talking to people about what she did, there's one, a belief that she philosophically has an issue with increasing the assessment for the additional revenue because she thinks it's not helping rein in healthcare costs. And two, you know, people are wondering, what does she want to do next? I know she probably has some true philosophical beliefs about this, but in politics, everybody has a question. What are you up to whenever you make a move like this? No Senate president in the history of Wisconsin voted against a budget until Falskowski did last week. So that's how unusual that move was. So people have talked about, you know, she mentioned a possible candidate for governor, possible for Congress. You know, that eye's been kicked around out there. So if Tom Tiffey runs for governor, then maybe she gets in the race for the 7th Congressional District. So people are wondering what she wants to do because, again, such an unusual move that has people wondering if there's another motivation behind it besides her belief that this is not good for Wisconsin.
And how does the federal tax and spending bill, or the Wisconsin budget for that matter, affect rural health care infrastructure in Wisconsin?
Well, you know, that's going to be interesting to see how this money comes in from the assessment and where it goes out. I haven't seen actual breakdowns by hospital yet. We'll see how that all plays out. But there are some things that are going to be interesting to watch because the hospitals will tell you that they are struggling in rural areas of Wisconsin. That, you know, we have a couple close, I believe, especially in the Eau Claire area a year or two ago, if I remember correctly. So there are definitely some strains on the system. And that's just a question. Does this going to do enough to kind of put them in good shape going forward?
You're tuned into Capital Notes. I'm WEWM's Mayan Silver, speaking with J.R. Ross, editor of WisPolitics.com. Okay, we've been talking about Medicaid and the impact of the changes that state legislators and the governor made in Wisconsin, but also just Medicaid cuts overall. There's also Wisconsin's SNAP program, which is also known as Food Share. It's Supplemental Nutrition Assistance. Do we know anything about how the federal reconciliation bill will affect that in Wisconsin?
I've seen various estimates of what it's going to cost. One interesting note is that the budget the governor signed has a pretty healthy cushion. Remember, we had a $4.3 billion surplus projected for the end of the biennium of June 30th. The budget he signed still has a net balance of about $750 million at the end of the fiscal year 26-27. So there's some money there in case we have costs from the reconciliation bill or other things by the feds do, they have to cover. Also, it's a decent cushion for the state in case the economy goes south for some reason. And then third, whoever's in charge come 2027 could have a good chunk of change again to build his or her next budget. So three options that are pretty good because of that money being there in the general fund or projected to be there.
And now that the reconciliation bill is in, do you think that Wisconsin lawmakers are going to have to go back into the budget or amend anything or rework anything, or since it was happening so simultaneously?
Good question. That's, again, why I say that cushion that we have projected to have of $750 million, roughly, that's a nice thing to have in the bank just in case things go south. So they've got some breathing room if things go differently than what they expect right now.
And as part of the state budget, Evers cut taxes deeper than he wanted to, and the GOP spent more on child care and education than they wanted to. You've said that. What was the funding for child care in this budget? Is it child care counts? Is it not? Can you explain to people what the child care portion is and who accesses it?
Sure. It's not officially child care counts, but it looks an awful lot like how child care counts operated. Remember, Evers used federal COVID-19 funds to pump money in that system where they basically provided direct subsidies to child care centers to help them, you know, boost pay or, you know, do what they need to do to stay open, those kinds of things. So now what they're doing is instead of using federal COVID money, there is interest off that money. It's kind of a deep in the weeds, but when you have money, you put it into accounts that draw interest, right? The government does the same thing. And so there's about $170 million or so in interest off those funds that the governor had argued he should control. Lawmakers said they should control that money. In the end, they're using it to pay for various things in this budget, including these subsidies that look a lot like child care counts, though it's not called child care counts. So they're finding a way to keep that system going. And then there are a number of other, you know, changes that are kind of a mix of Republican ideas on, for example, you know, how old you have to be an assistant teacher, I think, in a center, certifications for large family centers, this things they pushed for, those are in the budget now. So there's a blend of what each side wanted, but that had been a red line for the governor. He absolutely said he had to have some kind of child care package to sign the budget, and he got it.
How does that affect like your average parent in Wisconsin? Like, are there income levels for who can qualify for these? I mean, or since they're giving the money directly to childcare agencies, it's just overall serving to make the price of childcare lower in the state. How is it working?
It's a mix of everything. So, for example, we have a system right now in Wisconsin that if you are kind of qualified as the working poor, you can go get subsidies directly from the state to help cover the cost of your child care. Now, what they do is they say, okay, you live in Region X. We're going to set the help at the X percentile of what it costs for a child care slot. They're raising that voucher, essentially, to cover the 75th percentile. So if you live in, let's just say, Sheboygan, that area, they're going to look at all the child care centers in your area and say, okay, for a kid who's X age, it costs this much on average to take care of them. Well, we're going to make that voucher cover 75% of the available slots in your neck of the woods. So not every place, but 75% of them. And so they boosted it to that level. So that helps those with the working poor get those. You've got the direct subsidies through the, you know, it looks like child care account system, the mix of other things Republicans wanted. So it's a multifaceted approach trying to attack that issue and make it more affordable. Now, child care providers, you're going to get a mixed reaction. They're going to say they need more. This is not enough. At least some of them are going to say that, but there's a lot more than what they would have gotten without the governor making that a red line in the budget.
And what now for the Capitol? There's going to be a summer recess. What are you looking for over the next few months and when lawmakers reconvene?
If they do anything. I mean, I don't mean to be flippant, but getting this budget through was a Herculean task. There are definitely some not great feelings left over from this process about how it went. Senate Republicans are a little bit unhappy when, you know, Felskowski is a member of leadership and she voted against the budget. That just doesn't happen. Again, first Senate president ever to vote against the budget. There's that. People are just kind of had a very difficult spring and early summer to get this thing done. They haven't the most productive legislature I've ever seen. People don't expect them to be terribly productive this fall either, just because a lot of what they can get done got done in that budget. Now, there's other things that they will do for sure. There's messaging stuff that, you know, both sides are going to push. But as far as like actually getting a big thing done, they got most of the big things done already for the session.
Maybe a lame duck rest of 2025.
It could be fairly quiet. And the question is in 2026, how long do they meet before they go to the campaign trail? Because, you know, as we've talked about before, control of both houses of the legislature is at stake. Governor Evers has announced he's going to run for third term yet. Republicans are lining up to jump in that race. So there's a lot at stake next year, and they got to kind of get ready for it.
All right. Well, as always, thanks for the insights, JR, and thanks for joining me on Capitol Notes.
Oh, anytime.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.